to be able to join you in service today. Family's been away and traveling a little bit with me, and they could not make it today. Our youngest, Josiah, got a little sickness there, and Mama's at home praying for the service, and you be in prayer for us. Amen. That this will just pass and it won't affect anybody else. Some of y'all getting nervous. Don't worry, it ain't the Rona or Decepticon or Omicron, whatever you got going on. Delta, Bravo, Gamma, Sigma, Pi. Amen. Praise God. It's just a good old sickness. Yeah, it's one of those, you know. Y'all remember those? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 4. This is a scripture that is used quite a bit in teaching and communicating the gospel message. And I believe that there are some gold nuggets, if you will, that I believe that God wants to give us today in order to help our perspective. Everybody say perspective. Living for God successfully requires proper perspective. It requires you to see things how God wants you to see them. Or I'll even go as far as to say to see them how God sees them. And everything that we see, sometimes we respond out of human nature or even emotion. And it tends to bring us to a place where we respond improperly to the things that God allows in our lives. But when you have proper perspective, it sometimes looks foolish on you. Because when you're supposed to be upset, you end up being excited. When you're supposed to be sad, you end up being glad. When you're supposed to be down, you end up coming to church and praising God like you just did. Amen. And it confuses the devil because it's not the wisdom of the world. Amen. You don't see things how the world sees them. You don't see it how the enemy wants you to see it. You look through the lens of faith. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's why people that live for God the right way, they rarely complain. Because you understand some things. You've got a proper perspective. That doesn't matter if it's good, doesn't matter if it's bad, I know who I belong to. And all things, you know, it's not just like a puzzle piece. It's kind of like, I said this before, but it's kind of like gumbo, you know. If you isolate one of the ingredients, nobody's going to take a fresh piece of okra and just snap into it. God bless you. Nobody's going to take a pepper and just, and some of y'all just like, the, y'all, God bless y'all, just do that. And neither will I take hot oil and flour and just kind of spoon it and sip on it. But when you kind of put a little heat to that and pour it in the oil, you know, and stir it a little bit, and slowly but surely it turns into something nice and something. And then you just put all the ingredients in. That's kind of what gumbo is. It's kind of like kitchen sink soup. You can put anything in there. But with the right ingredients, it's going to come out tasting real good. I mean, some places in the United States, they don't, you know, we kind of have an idea. But, you know, real Cajuns, man, I'm talking about, They ain't just going to pour it over rice and just enjoy it. There's some places in Texas, Brother Wellman, that they put potato salad in their gumbo. Like, oh, don't knock it till you try it now. But they just put it all in there. And that's kind of how walking with God is. If you isolate an ingredient of your life, you might not be all excited and happy about it. But when you put it all together, all things work. And he looks at it and said, it's good. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The rest of y'all can just go on complaining. But I choose to have the proper perspective. Amen. In my walk with God. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, giving honor to Pastor Cox, his family, and in their absence, God bless them and keep them. Let the angels of the Lord minister with and for them as they minister where they are. Amen. We thank God for what he's going to do in this service. Amen. And honoring them in their absence. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich, everybody say God is rich. We don't serve a broke God. God is rich in mercy. Everybody say, that's a place. God is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Everybody say, that's a place. In sin is a place. Where we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. Everybody say, grace. Everybody say, that's a place. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, that's a place. So not just in heavenly places, as if you're going to teleport somewhere beyond the blue, but those heavenly places are in Christ. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. That's a place. Through Christ Jesus, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should brag about it. Amen. Or be proud or prideful about his current position away from destruction. Amen. Let's lift our hands and ask God to bless this service today. We thank you, Lord God, for your spirit, your power. We thank you, Lord God, for speaking to us and revealing your divine will. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to hear from you and to respond to you, Lord God, so that we can benefit with your word and mix it with our faith so that it can profit us much, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, turn on the microphone of heaven, and Lord, let them hear your voice, not just the voice of a man. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you for those that you've touched already. Thank you for those that will be touched by the end of this service. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Clap your hands to the Lord today. You may be seated. Allow me, if I take my time a little bit, to communicate some things so that we can have a proper perspective on some things that God deems important to our walk with him. This scripture that I read is usually referenced when we are talking about salvation, talking about elements of people leaving an old life and coming into a new one, or people that are formerly dead to sin and now being made alive by the Holy Ghost. This scripture is talking about salvation. And it tells us that we are saved by grace. Amen. I'm thankful that I've been saved by grace. Hallelujah. It wasn't any works of my own. It was by grace that I have become a part of this family of God. It wasn't something that I did to merit this position of power with God, but it was something that he did. It wasn't something that I did. It was something that he did. Praise God. The Bible tells us, even when we were in a current situation, in a place where we were surrounded by deadness due to sin, God has quickened us together with Christ. Meaning that that word quickening means to revive or to bring back to life. So when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, hallelujah, in the spirit, something happened to bring us from dead works to serve a living God. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important that Jesus would have been resurrected. Hallelujah. Because if there was no resurrection, there is no redemption for our sins. Hallelujah. Many use this scripture and read the scripture, especially the 8th verse and 9th verse, tells us, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Meaning that some people would view this scripture and say, well, there's nothing that I can do to be saved, so whatever anyone else is telling me that I have to do, this scripture tells me I don't have to do anything. I can just be saved by believing in God. Hallelujah. And that is an improper perspective on this scripture. This scripture is not saying, doesn't matter what you do, you can be saved. It doesn't matter how you live, as long as you believe in God. It's not your works that save you, it's your faith that saves you. No, this is not what the scripture is saying. That is an improper perspective. You have to understand that the person writing this scripture is an Israelite person. He is a Hebrew. And many of these scriptures were in the Bible were written to Hebrew people. And that's why there are some that are way smarter than I am that believe that the original Old Testament wasn't originally written in the Greek language, which was the known language at this time. However, it was written to Hebrew people. So they believe that the New Testament was written originally in Hebrew. And for that to be true, if that is true, that means the concepts of scripture is understood with a Hebrew perspective on scripture. And I know sometimes that we look at things, and if you go deep into the word, you try to get to the original text, and you look at the Greek, and you try to extrapolate the original meanings of what they are saying, but you cannot understand it unless you see it through the lens of a people whose culture was dictated by God. It is the only culture ever in history that was dictated by God. Hallelujah. And so God had established some things. And Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, understood these Hebrew concepts. That grace is not just an abstract idea. It's not just something that, well, it's the unmerited favor of God. And that is just the tip of the iceberg of what grace really is. Grace is not just unmerited favor. God has favor on me, and I didn't even deserve it. That's true, but that's not the entirety of what grace is. Hallelujah. Grace is not just a thought and an idea and an extension of favor. Grace is a place. And when God decided to create an opening for you to come from the outside into his marvelous light, he was inviting you to a place.
in him. Hallelujah. That's the only way you can find it. It's in him. And so if you are looking for that place called grace outside of God, you will never find it because it's in Christ.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul understood this concept. If you look at some of the original ways they used this word grace, the first time it was ever recorded was in the book of Genesis when God was getting ready to destroy the world. And there was so much evil and violence. And maybe you can put the scripture of Genesis chapter 6. They are doing things that is offending God so much so that he wished he had not created the world. Now that's some bad stuff. That God spent all that energy and all that time to create the whole world, the cosmos, and this creation going to go mess it up. And say, I wish I hadn't even created them. That's a bad place to be. And the whole world was in that present predicament. But somebody, the Bible begins to tell us that somebody found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every thought, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hallelujah. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God said, it brought me to a place where I wish I hadn't even done it. Hallelujah. It's very interesting to read these scriptures because you have to understand the context of the present predicament of the world at this time, because God says that in the end it's going to be just like this, as in the days of Noah. But somebody out of everybody in the world, that all they thought about was only evil, in every thought and every imagination continually, somebody found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, when you read that scripture, you get a general idea of what they're talking about. But when you understand the context of looking at it from a Hebrew perspective, the people that God carved out for himself, when you look at it from that perspective, you understand it's not just an abstract idea. Oh, I found grace in God's eyes. No. This thought of finding grace is like you stumble upon a location that you didn't know existed. And someone that's currently there looks upon you and says, you've been wandering way too long. How about you come in and find rest? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel like God's going to speak to somebody today. Hallelujah. Because God is looking for people that you've been wandering. You've been so spent. You've been stretched out thin, whether of your own doing or of life itself happening to you. And God says, I've got a place for you to rest. God says, I've got a place for you to cast off your cares. I've got a place where you don't have to be bound by your old life, but now you can come in from the outside. Hallelujah. To where I am. Because where I am, there is safety. Where I am, there is power. Where I am, there is healing. Where I am, it's better than where you are right now. You might not like where you are right now, and that's the reason for you to come in from the outside. You might like where you are right now, but if you're not in here, hallelujah, you're not going to like it for very long. Hallelujah, because this is where God is. So put up that slide. This is the Hebrew word grace. The very first time it's mentioned in the Bible, it is mentioned with two letters. Vowels of a Hebrew word are inherent in the words, so there's no vowels there. There's just two different letters there. There's a chet, which is that CH, where we use it in the English language for character and chorus, choir, that CH, that hard C sound, and the nun, which is the N, so that CH and N, chen. That is the word that was used for grace. Now, these are the letters at the top that is used in the modern writings of the Hebrew language. But in the most base and most historic forms of these letters, it was in these letters. They call it Paleo-Hebrew. Some might deem it to be archaic, but this is the original, this is the furthest back they've seen this writing. And that chet was a picture of a fence. It's like a separation. Chet is the word where we derive our English word cut. It separates. It divides. Chet is a fence that divides the outside from the inside. So therefore, it was a picture of a dividing fence or wall. The next letter was the nun. It was, in this original writing, it was the picture of, I know we got some kids in here, but it's a picture of seed. Or a little tadpole, praise God. It depicts life and the continuation thereof. But when put together, you get grace. But in its original idea, it was the separation where we keep the sustaining of life. Everything on the outside is going to end up in death. But if you come in here, this is where life continues. Oh, hallelujah. And that's why when God wanted to do something to preserve just a little bit of what he created, he said, I'm going to preserve life. And so, Noah, I see you, and you have found an invitation to life. And that's what this whole thing called the church is about. Hallelujah. It's an invitation from the outside to come in, because the only thing out there is going to lead to death. But when you come in here, it is the continuation and the sustaining of life itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is where we keep seed. This is where it's a depiction that noon. That's our letter N. That's a depiction of children. Hallelujah. It's where we keep our children, just like in your home. You don't have just a home and you don't have any walls in your home. You have an enclosure. You have doors. And behind those doors, you keep your most valuable things, especially your children. This is where they are raised. This is where they are taught. This is where they are fed. Hallelujah. This is the place where life is sustained and continued. So when God looked at Noah, he said, I'm not going to leave you on the outside, because I'm about to do something. I'm going to invite you into a place of safety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to build an ark. Praise God. You're going to have to build a place where I can sustain the life, because there's waters, there's floods. It's going to be destruction for everybody else, but the same waters that'll destroy everything else is going to save you. Praise God. God is giving people an invitation from the outside to the inside.
the outside, where there is no covering and protection of God, to the inside, where God keeps you under the shadow of his wings, and under his wings shalt thou trust. It's in this place where he begins to bind up your wounds, where he begins, oh, it's in this place where he begins to offload every burden and lift you up out of a miry clay and set your feet on a rock. It's in this place.
Hallelujah. You can take that slide down. It is a place. Grace is not an idea. It's a place. And for God to extend grace to you, it is him inviting you to a place that is not like where you are right now. And some of you, you might be comfortable in your attitude and your mindset and your past and living through the effects of sin in your life. But God says, I've got a better place for you. You don't have to stay there.
Hallelujah. By grace, by the invitation from the outside to the inside, are ye saved through faith. So true faith is accepting the invitation that is given to you from God.
Hallelujah. God says, I see you. You're out there. You're just bound by depression. You're bound by certain thoughts. You're bound by substances. You're bound by habits. And God says, I have a place that you can be released from those things. Praise God. And that is you accepting my invitation from the outside in. Think about this now. Because this fence or this wall, it's a depiction of the Israelite people that at these times in the book of Genesis, they didn't really dwell in places that were built with brick and mortar. They were tent dwellers. There were people that dwelt in the wilderness, the desert places. They would call them Bedouin people, people that lived in bets or tents. They lived in tents. And they would just pack up their tents. And I think it's a very interesting thing. If I'm a preacher, I preach about the making of a tent. Hallelujah. Because that tent was made out of skin. Praise God. Glory to God. It was made out of goat's hair. Praise the Lord. And so the enclosure of the safe place was inside the skin. Something had to die to create that place. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And just like, hallelujah, they dwelt in those places of safety, there is a spiritual place of safety, and somebody died to create it for you. That's why it's not of works. It's not about you, not of your works. Somebody did the work for you to have this invitation. Somebody did the work. Guess what work it was? It was the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. You have no room to boast about your Christianity and your walk with God, to walk around people that are not in church with your head high and looking down on people because of what they're in. You cannot boast because it's not your works. And if it had not been for the cross, you'd be just like, oh, hallelujah. Such were some of you, but now you are washed. Now you are bought. Now you are purged. Now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want you to get the wrong idea of why sometimes I refer to some of these things regarding Hebrew culture or these Hebrew texts. I'm not trying to be deep. I'm trying to bring proper perspective so you can see this thing the right way. And when you see it how God sees it, it humbles you. There's no way, hallelujah, you can think you are better than somebody else when you realize what you would have been without God.
only here because there was an invitation extended to you to come from the outside on into Christ. And I'm thankful today, hallelujah, that I had enough sense to accept the invitation to leave my dead works, because the wages of sin is death. But I came into the house, and now that I'm in, I don't get wages, I get gifts.
Gift of God is eternal, sustaining, continuing life.
Hallelujah. If you're feeling like something is bothering your life or messing up your peace, maybe you got one foot outside of the gate.
Because in this place, oh, hallelujah, it's joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. In this place, hallelujah. There is no sorrow. There is no sadness. There in this place, hallelujah, is joy unspeakable and full of glory. In this place, praise God. Hallelujah. So guess what God was doing when he got on that cross, stretched his arms out wide? He was creating a door to invite you from where you are to where he is. Because in those days, this concept was so important to God that when God was getting ready to free the Israelite people from Egyptian bondage, he told Moses, I want you to run to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Not to go so you can roll around and swim in milk and honey. He said, let my people go so they can serve me and sacrifice in the wilderness. Oh, I've got a place for you that is a place of prophetic promise, and it flows with milk and honey. But before you get there, you're going to have to learn how to sacrifice. And when you get ready to sacrifice, I'm going to have you build a place. Hallelujah. It's going to be a place for me. It's going to be my dwelling place. It's going to have an outer court, an inner court, and a most holy place. And that's going to be the place where I choose to put my presence, in that most holy place. And only one of you that I select is going to be able to come in and interface with me. You can't come this close. I'll strike you dead if you get too close to the glory. But one of you can come in. And God said, I'm tired of seeing the same old faces all these years. I want to see everybody. You know what? Open the doors. I don't care who comes. Bring them from the highways. Bring them from the byways. Let them come. So when Jesus died, the enclosure that separated the outsiders from those that got to get close to God ripped. And now we all can come and approach God to his throne of grace, not timidly, not insecurely, but boldly. You walk in to that place that is holy. Why? Because the King has stretched out his hand and given you an invitation to come inside. What are we going to find in there? We're going to find a place of mercy. Hallelujah. We're going to find a place of grace. Why is that a place of grace and mercy? It is because of what God chose to put in there. The most holy place was the place where all your mess ups was. He told him, build me a box. And I want to put everything that I did because you murmured. Yeah, the second pair of Ten Commandments, And the rod that budded, that belonged to Aaron, because everybody was questioning authority. And that manna that fell from heaven because you thought that I just left you out here to die. And you complained, but I blessed you anyway. Isn't God so good? And sometimes we don't even deserve it. But he extends an invitation. He says, I got a miracle for you. You know what? Yeah, I know what you said, and I know how you complain. I know how you doubted me, but I'm about to show you who I am. Glory to God. I believe God had patience on his people because they were amongst false religion for so long. And you know what? God has patience even on Pentecostals, because we've been among false religion for so long. Hallelujah. We've been among people that even call themselves people of the word and people of the spirit and people of truth, but we found them to be liars. Hallelujah. They weren't nothing but hypocrites and whoremongers, praise God. But God says, I've called you out of that into a place that's pure and holy. So don't tell me it's not of work so I can do whatever I want. Oh, it's not of your works. It's of his works. Somebody had to do the work. And because he did the work, now that I invited you in my home, you can't just do whatever you want when you're in here. Yeah, I invited you in, but that don't mean you act like you're from Egypt when I invited you into Israel. I invited you, hallelujah. You see, this is where people begin to kind of step away and step back from living for God, because you realize you can't take that worldly baggage with you where he's inviting you to. You're going to have to leave that at the altar. Yes, and it makes you uncomfortable because you think you need that stuff. You think you need your cigarettes. You think you need that lifestyle. You think you need that weed. You think you need that drink. You think you need that. And God says, leave it outside. When you get in here, it's something more better than any substance you can put into your body. In here, come on, there's no high than the high when I lift you up with eagle's wings and I set you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't need that. All you need is one dose of the Holy Ghost, and God will transform you forever. I wish somebody would get happy about it, like you know what I'm talking about, like you know how it feels. Hallelujah. They say, yo, there's no hit like the first time, you know. Oh, yeah. It's like the first time, you know. Oh, man. And so people, they get addicted and they get drawn in to those substances because they're trying to get it. They're trying to feel that same feeling like they felt it the first time they did it. And it never happens. Hallelujah. But when you get the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, every time is like the first. I got an invitation for somebody to come from the outside on into a place that is much better than where you are right now. Come on, lift your hands. The Holy Ghost wants to move on somebody right now. Come on, if you haven't felt them in a long time, today is your day to get another fix of the Holy Ghost. And every time, it's like the first time.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, if you never experienced the Holy Ghost power surging through your body and filling you and flowing out like a river of living water, today is your day to experience something out of this world.
on, go ahead and praise him like you know it's true. Go ahead and praise him like you know. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I hear your hands. But this type of move of God, this type of Holy Ghost that you got deserves more than a golf clap. It deserves a shout. It deserves a run. It deserves... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Talking to all of you who the enemy tries to entice you, saying, you've been in this boat for far too long. You need to go look outside and see what they got out there. All of a sudden, you looked out the window and saw dead bodies floating in the water. I'm staying in this ark. Devil catching bodies out there. I'm gonna stay my carcass right here where life is going to be sustained. Ain't no death in this boat. I said there's no death in this boat. When you get a part of the kingdom of God, is life everlasting. Come on, grab somebody by the hand right now. Hallelujah. Grab somebody by the hand and lift it up. Hallelujah. Come on, tell them, look no further. What you been looking for? Don't leave the destination and go searching for where you already are. Thank you.